Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is Season 5, Episode 14. This week we have a couple games to talk about. Unfortunately, they're both losses, but I think there are some good things to take away. So we will be talking about that. We'll be talking about pretty much there's one reason why we lost VCU, and that's turnovers. So we'll get into that and like maybe try to come up with a few solutions or ideas for that problem. Before that, we'll talk about the George Mason game, which, you know, actually, upon reflection, I don't really think we played all that bad. I actually think we played pretty well. It just was a matter of a few small things and not creating takeaways in that one for us. So we'll sprinkle in a little bit of recruiting news. But mostly we will be talking about the two games. Lou, how's it going? When are we going to get that first conference win?
Yeah, I wanted to say it's coming soon, especially this weekend with our first game at St. Joe's in a while. But who knows, right? It's definitely been a tough battle. But right now we're going to see two teams at the bottom of the standings in the A-10. So maybe we might see our luck actually come out. But it's been a tough few games conference play. Though excited to see some definitely positives, and then also excited that we had some big recruiting kind of highlights. Again, Miles in the national news, and then of course Jack making some headway as well. So not only the team doing decent, but our recruits seem to be making some headway. So excited to see some positives, of course, but who knows what we'll see in store for the rest of the A-10.
Yeah, we do our best. We try to give you some good stuff too, and just more recently the good stuff has been from the recruits. So we'll talk about all that here shortly. So stick with us, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So let's start. You know what? Let's change it up. Let's start with some good stuff. Let's start with the recruiting stuff because I can't bring myself to talk about two losses just yet. So both of our recruits, both Miles Rubin and Jack Turner, had some good stuff this past week, including each of them having some late game sort of heroics. Miles Rubin had him and his Simeon team had some really high level competition the past like week or 10 days. They were playing a game against Cathedral, which is in Indiana. It was at an event where the NIBC takes place, which is like the national high school sort of circuit. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was at La Lu, right? Wasn't it in La Porte?
I don't. It might be. It was the NIBC. I don't remember the name of the school. But yeah, it's the National Interscholastic Basketball Conference. I think there's like 8 teams or 12 teams, something like that. 10 teams. But yeah, La Lu is one of the teams in it. And they just like, so every week or maybe twice a week, they host events with mostly teams that are in the NIBC. But then they also will include like some other teams just to get a chance for them to play some like high level competition and have like a full days of games. So, I was almost going to say Loyola. Simeon was there playing Cathedral, and they have a kid on the team, Xavier Booker, who's going to Michigan State, who is a top 5 overall recruit, big 6'11 maybe or something. And Miles matched up with him. Both he and his brother Wes played defense on him. Xavier was like more of like a face-up sort of big, could shoot from three, very athletic, kind of like Miles Rubin, like similar body type, long, lanky, tall, but definitely could. He shot a couple threes and stuff. Miles did really well, I thought, overall. I was tweeting about it. I had a stat line before, but I want to say it was like 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 blocks or something like that. Just, yeah, he did really well. It was fun to watch him play. And then the more exciting one was the very next day. They played, I don't even know how to pronounce it, Imhotep, I think, something like that. Who they have a top five recruit for this year's class as well, in Anthony Edwards. No, that's an actual Justin basketball Edwards. Player. Justin Edwards, thank you. Justin Edwards, who is like a 6'7 wing player. I wasn't able to actually watch that game, but it did come down to like the last possession, and Miles Rubin got a dunk to give Simeon the lead with like 10 seconds left in the game, and then they end up winning. So yeah, it was a great week for him. They did, just yesterday, Simeon played a game, against Kenwood Academy, which is in Chicago. And they lost their first game to Kenwood, in like the last minute. So, they've been nationally ranked. They probably still will be nationally ranked. Kenwood's very good, but, they knocked him down a little bit. So, but it was a good week for Miles. If you get a chance, I highly recommend, even if sometimes there's streams, but to get a chance to watch him in Chicago to play in high school, like it's so much fun. He's just like he's a great shot blocker, lots of dunks. I'm real excited to have him next year. Lou, I knew you were following along to that as well. We were texting about it and stuff, so. Any thoughts about Miles and just like anything that you saw recently from him?
Yeah, again, he's playing at a very high level at high school, so I think this is one of the most recent commits in my memory that has been kind of just his a team is at just playing those top competitions. So I think that's great to see. Again, interesting to see Wes, of course, a former commit, now decommit and then commit to University of Northern Iowa. So, but, yeah, I think that's only a great thing for us and for Miles, right? Like getting notoriety, but also, I think Drew and team are very excited to see, a future, player, just go out there and ball. And I think, his defense is interesting, right? He's in the 2+, maybe even 3+ block range per game. That is a very interesting thing to see for sure. And his defense against Xavier Booker, again, a guy very similar in kind of build, was great to see. But yeah, his offense, he looks to score, which is interesting. Not afraid to dunk it. I don't know if that's just his pure athleticism, but as we saw, he hit, I don't know if we want to say hit a game winner, right? He slammed a game winner for Simeon on Saturday there, I think it was. So yeah, no, overall, really excited to see that. He's playing at a top level. Like you said, Simeon's been ranked at least top 25 for the past few weeks, I think. I think they will fall back, but I don't think too far, where if they keep back on track, for sure. Especially, yeah, Kenwood has quality players. I think the biggest thing with Miles overall, especially after these kind of showings, is I would love to see an increase in ranking. I think that's the next thing for me with Miles, is just to make sure he gets the credit where his credit's due. Though, honestly, we are a podcast that recognizes our team, and guys, that rankings don't always mean everything, for sure. They do not, right? Probably one of the best players in recent memory and in program history had probably 2 to 3 stars in Cam Krotwig. So I don't think it's necessary, but it's definitely nice to see when a kid who's a high school and senior is going out there and putting in the work. So I think that's great. And that's really what I'm looking for to Miles. So yeah, and then again, Jack. Just again, we're gonna talk, but they're both putting great work on a big stage. So I'm excited.
Yeah, just kind of lastly on Miles, a couple of things that I saw from him recently that just make me excited. In addition to all that, he always looks to box out. Like, I'm not gonna say he's like, you know, an A+ at it, right? But like, he always looks to box out, and for his a big
instinct.
like
his instinct, right? Is kind of yeah.
That's like half the battle, is just like understanding that every time you just got to find a body. And then I thought he actually showed some nice touch around the rim too, like when he wasn't slamming it home. Couple like put back layups, I think a hook shot or two. Would love to see him hit a couple more free throws, but we'll address that problem once he gets to campus. But yeah, and then for Jack Turner. Jack is out in California. He's at John Bosco High School. And just this past week, they played Matter Day High School, which I know the name, and that's about it. But I think they've produced some top level talent.
Oh, Modern Day. Yeah, no, Modern Day is always top in the country, not only just in football, but also in basketball. They're not like an IMG Academy, which, again, for people who don't know, IMG Academy kind of just a sports high school, sports factory, and producing top level D1 athletes. So, yeah, Modern Day is up there in California for sure, from football, baseball to basketball. So, this is a huge, huge, big, I think, win for them. Modern Day is definitely up there. And I think Jack alone, I think, puts on a showcase. Again, Jack's kind of like a year behind, so not like too big of an emphasis on, oh, his recruiting needs to be like betterly ranked, right? Like you should see. But I think you'll see him starting to creep up on some boards. He already gets the name recognition, I think, out in California. So I wouldn't expect I would expect a change when it comes to kind of just the national stage and especially his team. So, yeah, no, it's a difference when guys just grind without notoriety, but when you kind of can show up on the big stage like both Jack and Miles have. So it's really great for sure.
Yeah, so Jack's team, St. John Bosco, beat Mater Dei they're in the same conference as them, and it was the first time in this stadium, which was built in 2006, that Mater Dei had ever lost a conference game at home, at like period, not just to St. John Bosco, but like any of their conference opponents. So Jack hit a couple free throws to finish the game with 15 points and kind of ice the game. He's constantly, when I see like stat lines, I see him, you know, anywhere like 15 to 18 ish points, like 6 to 10 assists, somewhere in there. He's got some like good teammates as well. They're young. I think they're both sophomores actually. So Jack's a junior, and then there's two younger guys that, LZ Harrington and Cade Bonham. I've heard both their names.
Oh, so really, like, just a young team regardless. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the three of them played AAU together. I'm almost positive. I definitely have heard LZ Harrington's name before as, like, a top prospect. So, yeah, they got some really young talent. Led by like three guys that aren't seniors. So, he's fun to watch. I've seen a lot of, he played in like a tournament over the holidays, and I saw some sort of like independent, basketball analysts talking about like his top, you know, best shooter, best dunker, best athlete, best defense, like different categories. And Jack was the best shooter, the most creative passer, I think. And then, like, there's one more. Like, best driver or facilitator or something like that. But I didn't realize, like, I didn't realize he was an excellent shooter. I haven't watched too much of him. But if he, in addition to just, like, being a solid point guard, if he's a above-average three-point shooter, then, like, yeah, they might have found something there. Getting a commitment from a kid before he even started playing his junior year. So,
yeah, no, I think the biggest thing with Jack that I'm excited for, that I'll be watching a lot more, nothing like against, like, I just haven't had the time. And again, it's easy with, we're not gonna lie, it's easy with Miles because he's Chicago based, so we kind of are aware. But Jack, I'm excited for the AAU circuit. I think that's going to be a really interesting one. We watched a lot of Miles and a lot of the guys we had offered over the summer. We watched a lot of that, again, thanks to the streaming at UIBL, that was pretty dope that we got to watch it. So, yeah, I think Jack alone, those two things are really critical. I think right now with our team is like the shooting ability, but the ability also to pass. I think especially this team currently, I'm a huge fan of an assist, high assist total. And I think just having a player naturally wanting to make assists, that's something you don't see in usually all five guys in high school ball. So to have a kind of that young talent wanting to like kind of rack up those assists but also be kind of lethal from three, it sounds like. So yeah, I'll be very excited to see again Jack in the AAU circuit. And then again, so he's a junior now, so we do have a full year also of high school ball again from next year. So very interesting and exciting stuff for sure.
Yeah So those are the Ramblers to be. It's sometimes when things aren't going too well, you know, you turn over and you see, oh man, your commit put up 20 and 15. Like, oh, that's fun to that's fun to think about. And that's what we've been doing. Yeah. Well, on to the Ramblers. This past week, I really thought they were going to figure out a way to win one of these games. And it just unfortunately did not happen. The first game, they traveled out to George Mason to take on the Patriots. George Mason is coming off a year of, I think they were like middle of the pack last year, but I think they were hoping to kind of take a step forward. Josh Aduro is their big, and he was first team all A-10 last year. And I think he's had kind of a rough start to the year, but since conference play has started, I think he's kind of done a little bit better, just from what I've read. They have some transfers. Victor Bailey Jr. is probably their top transfer. And I think he, I'm trying to find where he came from.
Was it Tennessee?
Tennessee? Yeah. Yep. Oh, wow. He started at Oregon for two seasons. Played
that's right.
70 games. That's right. And then, yeah, with Tennessee. And now he's at George Mason. So, yeah, he's solid. Senior leader. It's his fifth year. So, he's, you know, been around the block.
Jeez, he might have another. I forget how that works.
I don't think so. But, yeah, it's
does he get, so yeah, weird. I don't know. One with COVID. Again, I'm still lost.
I think it's five total. It's 5 years of actually playing.
Okay, 5 years of actually playing.
Yeah, I think this is his actual last year. This has kind of been the pattern for our conference play games. Very competitive first half. We ended up going in the break tied. Lots of good things. Three of our guys, I think, were, at least to me, like, stood out. Ben's shooting was great. It's awesome to have a guy like him just be able to step out and hit five threes in a game as a freshman and on the road. I mean, like, that's not an easy task. And Phil, I thought, was very consistent this game. Played 34 minutes, which I think is probably his most or very one of, you know, top two or three. Finished with 23 points and 7 rebounds. I thought he was good and really, I mean, like, not too much foul trouble because he was able to actually play 34 minutes. Did finish with 4 fouls, but didn't have to worry about that too much. And I thought Braden played pretty well, actually very well. 12 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal, and no turnovers is excellent from your point guard. You would love to see him maybe hit one more of those threes. He was 1 for 4, but, like, that's really just nitpicking at that point. Played 34 minutes, so I thought he played well. I thought now, you know, this is foreshadowing, but even at VCU, I thought he played very well. So I think Braden's put in a couple good efforts the past couple times. But, yeah, I mean, this one, We were talking before, and we can't really find, like, one thing that stands out that was horrible. And he let up 86 points. That's really not good. That's probably the one thing that would stand out. But we only had 11 turnovers. We lost the rebounding battle by 3. We only created 8 takeaways, which is not good enough, I don't think, for this team, especially with, like, how much we usually turn the ball over ourselves. I know that these guards, like Marquise and Braden, are good at doing that. So, the one other thing I think that probably stuck out to me, Ben played the most minutes. Ben played 37 minutes, 17 points, 9 rebounds. Unfortunately, did have 5 turnovers, which, you know, you can't ask for everything from a freshman, but 5 is just too many. That's... Yeah, if he was sitting there with 3, I'd be like, okay, whatever. You know, he did so much, but 5 is just too many. So, go for
I
it.
I think just to really to stem off the point of, like, what went wrong, right? For me, it really was just like, this game wasn't horrible. I think, though, it's a horrible consistency to let a team score more than 80 points a game in college. And again, this is a totally different team than, like, the team before. So we got to, like, stop thinking, oh, aren't we usually the school that, like, limits team down to 60, right? Those are different players, different guys, right? But for me, the biggest thing is, like, it's that point total, right? It's the fact that we're allowing teams to just really go off. And it's not even about, I think their turnovers are really low. You try to get a team to, like, turn it over more than at least 10 times for sure. So I think our defensive presence, and again, we're gonna definitely talk about it when it comes to VCU. But honestly, it's more the second half, right? It seems to be a trend, and we just talked about it beforehand, with the past five games, or if we want to talk about at least all the conference games, the first half we've either been tied or just down by three. That's been only one tie at half, and then every other game we were down by three. And then the second half, we just let them score probably on average nearly 48 points a half. That is just outrageously high. It's one thing if the team only put up like 15 at first half, so now they're getting in rhythm to go off in the second half. But no, they're putting up 30, 40 points in the first half, so you would naturally think, okay, we're going to lock down on defense. And I think it's that lockdown mentality that just is really lacking. Really, we'll see it not really be our Achilles heel, but it definitely was that second blow in the VCU game for sure. So I think not being able to get stops, and we talked about the GW game, right? Like, we just needed stops, right? We were getting it on offense, and our offense, even in this game, pretty efficient, right? Hovering that around that 48% range from field goal. So absolutely not a totally bad offensive night, even with our own turnovers. But it's really that if we – I don't know if this is what the A-10 for us is going to be like, but it might be a punch for punch, right? And we got to be able to know how to, like, push back. I think that's kind of what this is. This Jordan Mason game, for me, I kept sitting there after the game and be like, what did we do wrong? And it's not really what we did wrong. It's what we didn't do. And what we didn't do is really play that kind of on-ball pressure defense. I think that's one of the toughest things to see, is a team just put up that many points. I go back to Drew open practice last year, right? And I remember this so vividly. And this is like, oh, is he going to be this type of coach? Because he's bringing it up pretty often. And he said, he joked, because I think the open practice, Buck, you can correct me, was like ridiculously scoring. I think it was like, I think it was like 98 or something. It was ridiculous, right? And Drew was like, or they probably only played a half, so maybe only like 45, 40, right? And Drew was like, wow, I'm the defensive coach, right? And we put up that many points, so I'm going to have to talk. So it wasn't that big of an issue, I think, last year, honestly. But this year, especially with A-10 teams, it seems like we're just letting them go to the races in the second half. It's not even like first half. We're somewhat of a complete team. We're fighting. We're not letting the lead take advantage. There are sometimes we're stagnant, I feel like, on offense. But the second half, I think, is really what where we're just letting them put the gas all the way through and just letting them drive by. And it's tough to watch, right? We know we can probably play better defense, and the offense is there, but we can't expect the offense to shoot our way out of it, right? I think that's what lends our that might be our Achilles heel, is that when we're down, we think we can just shoot our way out of it. And like, oh, if we hit two more threes, we'll be in it. Don't worry. And I'm like, yeah, we could shoot all the threes all day, but if we can't defend, again, we talked about it last week. That's kind of the two major themes of basketball. It's like offense, defense, and our defense is just lacking in recent games.
Yeah, it has. There's some things that I think make me kind of frustrated with what I think is like the coaching staff not really putting the players in a good chance or a good situation to succeed. And one of those is the defensive strategy with Ben on the court. And we've talked about it a couple times now, and having him guard the quick guards. Like, I understand that their defense is like switch everything and everyone should be able to guard everyone, but it's just like time and time again, we've seen it against VCU this time, just their quick guards, both Ace and Nunn, like blowing by Ben and just getting to the hoop. I mean, there was one time where we were joking around. I mean, like, there was just, I think Ace drove and literally he took one step and had already beaten Ben, and Ben had to foul him like out 5 feet past the 3-point line. And it's frustrating because I don't think Ben is a bad defender in general, but yeah, I mean, like, when you put him up against guys that are like, I mean, Ace Baldwin has been in this conference for at least 3 years, and has been a top guy. He's just a very creative, like, quick twitch guard. Like, Ben shouldn't have to guard someone like that consistently and play 35 minutes. Like, that is, in my opinion, not putting Ben in a chance to succeed. It might be more difficult to change up the defense a little bit and say, hey, don't switch. You know, it takes more communication to say on these certain ones with, like, the top guards in the league, don't switch. But that's what game planning is for, and that's what walkthroughs are for, and that's what communication on the court's for. So that's one thing. The other thing that really made me frustrated that I felt like the coaching staff didn't put someone in a good place was with Jalen Quinn. The way that we break press, well, I don't even know if I can say that, if they actually do break press.
Wouldn't say we know how to break press, no.
No, it's just, I mean, all it is like, do your best to inbound the ball, and then everyone clear out and have one guard take it up the court. Well, like, yeah, it can work. Braden is great at it. Marquise, I think, is very good at it. But when you're asking a true freshman guard to do that, who has, like, just, it's not even that he doesn't have that much experience. Like, I think he's good, but Ace Baldwin and Jaden Nunn are, like, top-level defenders in this league. And they did it to Marquise Kennedy. Like, poke the ball away, easy layup. And it just drives me nuts after it's happened. Okay, we'll do something different, right? Send Ben to go set a screen for them, or Phil. So then if they poke the ball away, at the very least, you have two defenders there. And, like, maybe you can at least stop the fast break and force, like, a missed shot. But then, you know, you have just Jalen Quinn there. Guy pokes it away. Well, he's already got ahead of steam. He's getting an easy layup. Like, protect your guys. And I know it probably will cause guys to be more gassed because they have to run up and down the court. But, like, oh, well, that's why you have a deep bench. So those are things that really frustrated me. I know they seem small, but when a guy, especially like Quinn, is trying to come in and, like, make a difference, and he's finally got the trust of the coaching staff, you're putting him up against, like, an all-defender type player in his, like, he's probably hasn't even played 100 minutes of Division I basketball yet, or just around that. Like, it's just that is very frustrating to me. And I don't understand how there hasn't been more game planning around breaking press, because as fans, we can see that it's something they struggle with. And that can just lead into the turnover talk if you want to talk about that. But we got to the VCU game.
Yeah, you kind of jumped into it.
Sorry, I forgot where I was for like 5 minutes just now.
No, we're good. We're good. I think it's not even just VCU. We could go back to GW where literally, just if you look at the box score, you're like, oh, this guy Bishop, he knows how to score. He's going to probably want to drive. And then if you watch film, it's probably he's getting a lot of his points off from 2-point field goals, right? And that's literally how he put up 40 points off us. He just did the same move and drove all the time, or then pulled up from at field goal, at free throw line, to have a high field goal percent. And so, yeah, I think it was really tough. We can tie it in and then go into VCU properly, but I don't know if people have noticed, because we're pretty attentive to it. So since conference play, at least, Drew's post game conferences have been posted on Twitter and also YouTube, and he's of course talking with our play-by-play guys, so Scott and CT, and I think there's one more guy, I just don't know his name off the top of my head, but yeah, it's definitely tough and watching him, and he said he likes some things, but something that struck me last night that he said was he wishes people came to practice and saw how we practice. Now, I don't know if that means they're actually practicing press break, because since even Porter, though, I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a team properly know how to pass a press break. So, yeah, it's definitely probably frustrating on Drew's side if they're practicing things and it's not being also put on the court. So, I don't know. I think one of the most frustrating things is this whole 10 seconds getting it past half court. I've never seen this many. Well, we had two in the game yesterday at VCU. We had, I think, one in the Davidson game, and I'm pretty sure we nearly had one in the George Mason game, I think. But I remember when Clay did it a few years ago, I think, at Missouri State, and it was, like, the first time I had ever seen it at Loyola or something, right? So those are those little things that's, like, that's a turnover, and that is, like, a weird turnover to actually, like, we do that. Like, we didn't think about the 10 seconds like we wanted to get. So it's at this point, it's kind of like the small tweaks. Again, the ball movement, turnovers, is I don't know if all of them are small things, right? There are a few games where we have a lot of offensive fouls, so that goes into the turnover, right, when it comes to charges and stuff. So, yeah, I think with this George Mason game could have been very different, I think, with small things. I think more low on defense and less offense. But it's really just a thread, I think, is the defense. And whether guys are just lacking on switching, I think that's always a tough thing. I think, again, we could talk about the kudos and good thing that guys did. But, it's tough, right? Like, Phil did put up 23 points, and that's great. That's three blocks. So that's amazing and pretty efficient. It's just like, you know, defense could be a little bit better. Ben, right, 17 points. That's amazing. But then five turnovers. Ben nearly had a double-double, which is, like, mm-hmm. crazy. But then those five turnovers just really dilute the whole outing. Braden, finally. Weird, though, field goal percentage. So you'd like to see him kind of kick that up. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the biggest thing for me was this game you saw the bench coming early. And that's something we've talked about recently. So I got really excited. Like, I thought Huddy played some really decent 9 minutes. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. a bucket, one of two from free throw, an assist, and a rebound. Right now, do I think and a block even? I don't even really remember the block, honestly. But I can't even. It's unfair for Huddy because I can't look at the box score and be like, oh, he did bad or did great, because it's like he needs more minutes to like have a baseline. I really don't know what's a bad game or a good game for him at this point. Same with like Jermail Wilson. He's getting minutes now. So yeah, I think like Bryce, you can easily see like, you know, he would love to have not gone 1-for-4, and he took 2 threes, which again, I think, man, you made one or you made two of them, whatever, like stop it. Like, it's not a thing you should go to, unless it's like the winding down the shot clock. So yeah, it's a tough one. I think mainly turnovers and defense are going to dictate these two game summers. But I think it's something to watch for, is like bench need to get a little bit more playing time. But if they're going to just be – if we're going to be a little inconsistent on both ends, then, I don't know. Like, I would love to see Jalen – I guess the big summer for me is I would love to see Jalen try to be lockdown defender and not having to worry about a press break. Like, he should be worrying about, like, guarding maybe instead of press breaking. Like, those are the responsibilities I would look for maybe. I think it might be easier for him. But who knows, right? I don't know if Ben's the guy to play defense. I don't know if it's Marquise needs to step up and play defense on guys. Who knows? So, again, though, the VCU game is not really a – we'll talk about it here. It wasn't really a guard lockdown in defense. It was, like, a lot of baseline stuff. So – each game is going to be a different summary. Each game is going to be a different reason, but the core of it's just like the lockdown and the pressure on defense needs to kind of kick it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs to play better defense. I don't think there's anyone that's really like immune from this. Like, there isn't any one person like, well, he's playing great defense, so if the other ones could step it up. I mean, I don't think like Braden's getting beat off the bounce every time, and I don't. It's same with Marquise, but like that doesn't mean that there isn't other things they can do better. So I think that's a little disappointing that we don't really have anyone, in my opinion, that's like above average defensively. We see Phil make some plays every once in a while, or, you know, more than that. But it's just that it's kind of disappointing all around. So for that game, I mean, that's kind of all I have on the George Mason game. I really thought they played okay. I think if couple shots fall, like, then things could go their way. It just didn't end up being that, and letting up 51 points in the second half is just too many. So we lost that game 75-86, and we're moving on to come back home and play a game against VCU, who has been up and down this year, but more up than down for sure. They were picked to finish right above us in the preseason poll, finished third. And that's kind of where they've been so far. I guess second. Go ahead.
No, I think, I think they honestly could battle a SLU. I think they're really, they've surpassed a little bit of my expectations. I think they have a little weaknesses, but they could make a run at it. I think they're that type of team. That's where my head was going into this game. So it was really interesting to see them at this level.
Yeah, they're healthier now. They were missing Ace Baldwin for a few games there in the non-con. I think we both knew this would be a uphill battle. VCU's very good, but I was hoping we might be able to catch them off guard at home. And that did not really seem to be the case. We lost this one 78-64. Kind of very similar story again. Going to the first or going into halftime only down three. We actually led, I think, for the majority of the first half, probably like 10 or 12 minutes. So that was a little different. It's nice to have, a decent lead for a while, 5 points, 7 points, something like that. And it just ended up being the fact that it was too many turnovers. We shot very well, 51% on the night, 43% from three, 70% from the line, all great numbers, right? Like that's, I would take that every time if that was offered. But when you turn the ball over 22 times, and I believe that was like a third of our possessions, I want to say, I'm pretty sure I read that we had like, 66 possessions or 67 possessions, something like that. So it was a third of the possessions, which is just atrocious. It's like, there's no other way to say it. There's nothing redeemable about it. We had 15 turnovers going into the first half, which, or going into the second half rather, which is too many for a whole game. I do want to say that we, like, VCU, that's what they're good at. That, like, they create a ton of takeaways, and where they struggle is sometimes on the offensive end. I really don't think they struggle too much on offense, especially when you get to the line 36 times. That's a bunch of their, at least, probably a third or a quarter of their offense just came from the free throw line. They didn't really shoot that many threes. Ace was one of four, and then one of their sort of forwards came in and hit three threes, which, that's tough. On our end, offensively, I thought we really got off to a great start. I think we scored like 20 points in the first like 8 minutes or something like that. The ball was moving, a couple threes, a couple drives. Ben had a great end one. Jamero Wilson hit an early three. So the offense looked very good first 8-10 minutes. And then when you start just turning the ball over like that, it's hard to overlook that. For me, I even though Tom had 16 points, he played his butt off for sure. It was just, I think a lot of like, they just, his scoring was what the defense was giving us. They would rather have him have to battle among post player, like a post player one-on-one. And he showed that he can score on one-on-one opportunities, which is great. Played a hell of a last like 10 minutes of the game. He struggled in the first half with some foul trouble. When everyone was doing bad the first 5 or 8 minutes of the second half, he was on the bench for most of it, which is really difficult. You gotta keep yourself in check and not get in foul trouble. Honestly, for me, I thought the guy who played the best game was Braden. Nothing on the stat sheet's going to wow you. 14 points, 4 assists, a steal, only one turnover. But I thought he was actually in control of a lot of the game. Even with those really good defenders and Nunn and Baldwin, I don't think it really shook him that much from what I could tell. Played 39 minutes. We need to keep having Braden play consistently. And in this one for me, the other two starters, Marquise and Ben, just didn't give enough and had too many turnovers. We need them to play better if we want to win. So, yeah. Lou, please go ahead. Take away what were some of your besides.
Yeah, it's tough to like not talk about like again. Tom 70% for a game. He took 7 of 10 shots. You're right though. They were just leaving that lane after that pick would be set, just letting Tom get open. That's just what they wanted to defend. And do I want to say it was dumb? I don't know. I think it was their game plan, and it worked, of course, because they ended up winning. So that's just a great kind of look. Again, the team overall shot 51%. So again, great first half. We were stagnant though for a period, so I think that's why you saw us down at half for sure. Even though that shot at the end of the first half would have been really nice for sure. Phil, again, those last 10 minutes, you're right. Like, what a motor Phil has, and it's ridiculous. Like, if you put it in, like, a drink, I think you'd have the most energetic energy drink ever. It's just, I don't know if that's maybe how he got into foul trouble. I feel like they were kind of calling them. We were saying some things from our upgraded seats with not that many fans. So, yeah, it was interesting. Kind of a physical game, just with, like, a lot of driving, a lot of fouls being called. But I was just really shocked to see some of them called on both Phil and Tom, even, because then Tom alone fouled out. So, yeah, I think that was tough for Phil to probably sit there, and maybe that's why you saw even guys like Sheldon Edwards get minutes, I guess, right? Like, the guys we were trying new things. So, yeah, overall, those are probably some great highlights. Though, honestly, we did shoot 70% from free throw, so I found that a little silver lining. But really, the two biggest things for me are not only is it turnovers, right? Like, you can't not talk about turnovers. There are points off turnovers. VCU had 31 points off turnovers. So there's a thing to there's one thing to have turnovers, but then that the response by VCU to go and score right away off a turnover, that just puts them in. And again, the crazy thing is we only ended up losing by 14, even though at points I think it was as big as 20. For me, it was just like the fact that if you remove that burden, you're like, wow, could this have been a lot closer game? Oh, yes, this could have been, for sure, and this would have been a very competitive VCU team to go up against. And just, again, that second half, just the, I don't know, the can got loose, or we just let go, and they went off, for sure. And honestly, yeah, their second half VCU, I think that's the bottom line for me. It's turnovers, but defense, right? Second half defense, they shot 65% from field goal, 75% from three. Now, granted, they only took four threes, so not that crazy, but and then they get to the line, though, 18 times, go 77% from the line. So their offensive production the second half was not slowing down, and we really weren't trying to do anything to stop them. Really, the only thing we are consistently doing is turning the ball over to them. So, yeah, I think those are the biggest things. Again, the weird silver lining is you look at our offensive numbers, you're like, wow, we're there. Like, we are shooting at a very high level and efficient level, and we're like, yes, keep doing that. But I don't know if there needs to be some transition where maybe we have to slow down our possessions, right? Stretch out the game longer, right? Because then we need then time on defense. I don't know if that's the key, right? We're not coaches, but something needs to change on the defensive end, just because I've never seen so many just wide open, blatant baseline drives. Like, we've seen a few of them, and just irks you sometimes when you've seen it. But this game, I swear, VCU was... And the thing was, VCU, they'd even do it with a guy on them. They were like, we're just going to stick to our game plan of, like, you're going to drive just to see if it's there, right? And it might not have been there, but you'd watch them drive with a guy on, like, one of our guys on them, and they'd still almost look like they could have gotten open. And it's like, I don't know if it's help defense. I don't know if just the strategy we're doing. I think George Mason, we saw potentially a little bit of a zone, I think, right? Yeah, is that the answer? Maybe. It didn't seem like VCU was going to try to beat us on three, like you said, right? So for a team that didn't really want to, I guess, chuck up that many threes, they found a way to score, and that was, yeah, they only made four threes and only took eight. So, yeah, they were going to score from down low and the free throw line. They got to the line 36 times and made 26. That's double what we got to the line. So I think their mentality of driving definitely helped. So, yeah, I think our teams are going to take advantage of our lack of defense. And this is, for me, this was the showcase of it. GW was a back and forth kind of fight or flight kind of thing. And we, right now, this game for me was like, they scouted us very well and said, hey, they're going to lay it up on defense on this baseline. We're just going to take advantage of it. And that's what they did. And they drove a lot, right? Like, Baldwin drove a lot. Jalen DeLaRoche, a 16, like, just absolutely great. But they had six guys in double digits. That's right, freaking number 35 alone went 3 of 3 from three, so he chucked up all their threes. So yeah, it wasn't even like we even beat them on rebounding, which is crazy to think. I actually noticed that a little bit. But, yeah, I think it's just the defensive production on our end to kind of stop them and allow them not to get kind of easy buckets in the second half is another theme that we've seen again. This is probably the fourth straight, maybe you could say fifth straight game where second half defense is gonna lose it there for us.
Yeah. I think the turnover problem is actually an easier problem to correct than the defense. In my opinion, it's hard for me to say because I'm not in those conversations. But like, I mean, it just felt like at least like 8 or 10 of those turnovers were just like throwing to the wrong team or throwing out of bounds or like, I don't know, man. Like I think of the one of like Jermall Wilson on the fast break. When he just threw it to Ace Baldwin, there's one I'm thinking of like Marquise throwing it down the sideline and no one's there. Like those sort of things are correctable. But the bummer is that we've seen it now more so than not over 16 games, right? Like every couple, it seems like, okay, like the 10 turnover game, an 11 turnover game. That's great. Like, let's do that. And then all of a sudden it's back to 18, 21, 22 turnovers. Like, It can't happen, and it needs to happen, it needs to change soon, and they just need to be consistent. They can do it. It's just a matter of being consistent with it. If you don't turn the ball over 22 times, if you give yourself 10 more possessions and you're shooting 50%, that you're gonna make 5 more shots, it's 10 more points, and all of a sudden it's a 4-point game. Like it's a bummer. I hope they can figure out the turnover problem. The defense is more worrisome. I don't know if they have the skill, like the skill set, I guess. Like there isn't anyone that's like sitting on the bench that I'm like, oh man, I just think he's a great defender. I would like to see Saint get more time. I have a feeling that there's something going on not basketball related that might be keeping him out of the game. I'm not going to speculate because that's not fair to anyone. But I think we've seen him play pretty good defense, at least be impactful and able to get like rebounds and stuff. So he's the one guy I wish would be playing more. But when Jermall Wilson is having an impact like he did yesterday, I don't know where those minutes come from. So, my point is just, I think they can change the turnover problem. I'm more worried about the defense. If we're going to win some games, I think we're going to see some like 80-76 or 88-80. You know, I think that's kind of the type of game we're going to win. And I'm sure they'll prove me wrong and go out and win 50-45. At St. Joe's or something, but yeah.
Well, against the St. Joe's, that might be the case, right?
That might be, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think one of the big things that you bring up, right, is I do think we won't know sometimes with guys on defense if they don't play.
Right.
This game, we didn't see Saint or Jaden Dawson play. Jalen Quinn played for a little bit, but I think also some of those minutes were just like to get in. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see Jermall Wilson at 18 minutes. Offensively, it was okay, but he had 3 steals. So that gets me excited. I do think having that presence, he is, what, 6'7" wings? Or I don't know. He's pretty tall, and he's a big body. So I would love to see him more, maybe be that defender. I really will take this. If they just want to give me this consistent stat line of 18 minutes, 100% from field goal, including a 3, and then 2 turnovers, maybe we lack that, but 3 steals and a block, I'll take that, right? From a guy coming off the bench. So that's something that got me excited. Don't know what happened really with Bryce. Thought maybe you'd see more minutes there. So yeah, there are names, at this point, let Wilson play minutes, let Bryce play minutes, because we're not having these guys back here. So I don't know what the kind of what the holdback is, like maybe if they're that detrimental, but right now I think anyone off the bench might lift this team. When you're down, when you've gone on a 5-game losing streak, you gotta try to change something up. And I think that's what it's really coming to. Our guys offensively are consistent, but it clearly seems to be a defensive issue. If that's the hardest thing to figure out, I think we're just going to have to try maybe something to figure it out, because the turnovers seem to be just, again, starters, of course, because they're going to play more minutes there. But some even bench guys are getting turnovers, so I feel like turnovers are going to happen, but maybe on a lower scale. But, yeah, I think right now we're 0-5 in the last five games, so something new would be, I think, a different shakeup. And, again, maybe St. Joe's is that game to do it again, right? You're both at the bottom. Someone's got to win, and I think right now we got to kind of salvage some of this season as possible. Because everything I looked into before recording this has us probably having a losing record, and that's tough, right? I think that's a tough thing. I go back to it, right? Maybe a reality check of having 11 new players. But I think it also, there's another way to be respectful about the season and maybe like put guys like Wilson and Bryce out there who won't be playing anymore the rest of their careers in college, cause they're graduating, right? They're done. So let's see what they can do, because if Wilson wants to have this night and maybe Bryce can have more of consistent nights, who knows, right? Or put out, Jaden Dawson or Saint out there, cause they're young and they need minutes. So yeah, there's so many ways to kind of carve it or look at it. And I think, right now, I think something needs to be shaken up a little bit, to at least maybe try something new with the A-10. Because you brought up a little bit, I don't know if it's skill set, but the A-10 seems to be kicking our ass in the second half. I'll say it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing. I was going into this conference play having a very particular like mindset of what an A-10 kind of like conference play looks like. And again, you and I were still getting accustomed, in my opinion, to like all the players. Like, we don't know them play for play, even like what, like mm-hmm. what we did with the Valley, right? Like, we knew Donovan Clays, we knew guys on you and I, like, we just knew and how we could really go about it, right? But it is so, I just laugh because I'm like, you look at Davidson, right? And you look at, you're like, oh, this little guy can go off on us, or maybe GW, and then it's like, oh, Jordan, like, it's so different, and it's a different type of player. But it's really, we're allowing it. So I think a shakeup would be great to see for sure. But yeah, offensively, we're actually doing great. I think they're just, it's not, I'm not going to say we're really going to get the front pages with all these losses. So that's the toughest thing. Our offense, mm-hmm. I think, has been consistent, and however we're working toward that is great. But we got to combat it and also have a 1-2 punch with defense for sure.
Yeah, here's the – you touched on it a little bit. Here's the tough job, I think, for Drew coming up now, starting 0-4 in conference. It is those rotations, and it's the decision of do I just try to win every game? And I know that sounds crazy, right, because you want to win every game. But there are, like, more decisions to be made or more information that goes into that choice. Like you said, like, okay, you could play Bryce and Miro – who are done after this year, just to see what you get out of them. And, like, maybe their veteran leadership is something that we need, and they get out there and they don't turn the ball over because they know how to play, right? Or you go completely young. Like, you know, give Jaden and Jalen minutes. Get Saint in the game for 25 minutes. Like, you know, those are the guys that are going to be playing next year, so you might as well give them some room for improvement and, like, tape on themselves so they can get better. I think that we've seen Drew really truly shake up the rotations the past like 3-4 games. Like, I do think that he's trying. Like, there are changes being made from game to game. That is evident, right? With Wilson playing a bunch, Golden having a couple really good games and a couple not really good games. So then he decided, okay, Tom, you're playing 32 minutes tonight because Bryce isn't giving it to us. You know, and then to just yesterday with Jalen playing 10 minutes. I mean, that's since the first couple games of the season, that's the most minutes he's gotten. I know you said it. I think he actually played meaningful minutes. Like, I think he got in there first. There was at the end of the end of the first half, there was a lineup where it was him, Braden, and Marquise playing at the same time. And that is a very new lineup that has not happened very much. And I actually thought, like, that's smart because we're turning the ball over. Let's put three ball handlers in there to try to, like, hold on to the basketball. Like, I get that logic. So yeah, I think Drew has a really tough job just in general, but this is for sure the hardest, like, time he'll have as a coach, at least these first couple years, what does he do, right? And the most easily defensible one is, let me try to play my best five or best seven players, let's try to win games. That's really easily defensible. But is it what's best for the future of the program? I don't know. I can't tell you. And I don't think we'll be able to know until, you know, next year when we see who sticks around, who got better, who what our team looks like next year. It's just real tough to figure it out in this point. So I do not envy Drew at all. I think he's in a really tough spot. And we talked about it, but he needs to get better at making in-game adjustments. I think that's really obvious. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Drew. I don't know. I don't know if I have too much else. It's definitely a bummer. I really would challenge everyone to just continue having fun with it as much as you can. I mean, shoot.
Go out to the games still, yeah, please. Because, like, again, the student section will be back, but honestly, like, having a packed arena helps not only just, like, this year, but, like, next year. Like, in my opinion, as an alumni, like, if I saw the non-student section packed, like, I would want to go because it's a rowdy time. So, like, no, I think, like, still going, like, don't, this season isn't a, and again, they're not all Final Four years. You just need to know that, especially when you want to go to a tougher conference. You're not going to get, like, oh, you're going to win the conference every year kind of mentality. That's just not what it is. So I think that's a totally different mindset to have, but still go, because I think it's still, like, you're seeing a team still shoot roughly 50% from field goal. That's a pretty great thing to have. We're, like, top 10 in 2-point field goal in the country. So this team knows how to score their high-scoring games. I just, like we said, we just wish there was a few other things that went better, that maybe this team would have a few more W's. But, yeah, no, absolutely. It's still exciting to go see a game for sure.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, especially, you know, like, I want A-10 fans to come to our games and be like, man, they're 3-10 in conference and they have a sellout. Like, that's what we should strive for. You got to support your team no matter what, and that gets the players to play harder too. Like, it's way easier to play harder for a completely sold out arena that's screaming on every possession. So. Yeah, just come out, please. Have a good time. I cannot wait for the students to be back. I really do think they're going to still come out. I mean, shoot, the tickets are free, you know? Like, come on out, scream your head
next
off.
Next week, though, next home game is SLU, so it should be a competitive. Yeah. Though another 6 p.m. tip-off, which are confusing me, but maybe that's just what we
TV.
Got. It is for TV, yeah. But, no, still come out.
Which is unfortunate.
Excited for the next home game for sure.
Yeah, I think that's all I got. It's tough, right? I know we all had expectations for this team, and I think it's pretty apparent now that those expectations are not coming true this year. But it's an adjustment period for everyone. There's a lot of different things that go into moving conferences, getting new players, facing new teams, a pretty much brand new coaching staff. I mean, yeah, they've had a year, but. I think it just really makes me appreciate what happened last year and appreciate the fact that we had some super seniors stick around to carry this program and give them another tournament berth. So don't take those for granted. And I do think this team will figure it out and the program will figure it out and get back to the tournament sooner rather than later. So, yeah. Any last thoughts, Lou?
Just find a way to win. That'd be great.
Yeah. So winning, what was it? Winning cures all pain or cures all evil or whatever that is. Like, a win could do a lot, I think, for the guys on the team and for all the fans too.
There you
so
go.
Thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blues.